know that I've ever been more burdened to preach to America, to leadership in America, to the churches in America, to the lost in America. Never been as burdened to preach as I am this morning. I'll ask you if you will please stand today. I want to read the first two verses and I'll stop there. The Bible says in verse 1, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. I want to preach on this thought today, God being our helper. Ah, sinful nation. Father, this morning, would you fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit and help us to preach with the anointing and an unction that only you can grant. Help us fall to fear not man, but preach the word of God uncompromised. And Lord, I pray you'd touch us and you'd help us and you'd draw us and speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters. Praise God for it. I'll try not to preach them all this morning. But in those 66 chapters, it is called the mini Bible because the Word of God has 66 books. 66 chapters in Isaiah, 66 books in the Bible. The Old Testament in the Word of God, the first 39 books of the Bible, there is judgment. Jesus is hidden in the law. Jesus is hidden in the ordinances. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah are words of judgment. The last 27 books of the Bible, the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. He is hope. The Messiah who gave his life upon the cross that we might be saved, who was buried and raised upon the first day of the week. We have hope through Jesus Christ. In the last 27 chapters of the book of Isaiah, we see hope, and it is speaking of the Messiah who would one day come and give his back and his body and his blood that you and I might be saved. Then we look at Isaiah and we see God's statement of rebellion, number one. He is issuing an indictment, if you will. Now look with me. Isaiah is a prophet of God whose ministry has spanned a great list of kings. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. God gives Isaiah a vision for Judah and for Jerusalem and those kings that ministered in those days. We come to verse number 2, and the scope of this vision is broadened considerably. Now Isaiah switches from Jerusalem and Judah to hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. God is now speaking for not just America, but to all those residing upon planet earth. What does God have to say? I'll just warn you, he is terribly offended. He is quite upset with those in Judah and in Jerusalem. And if he's terribly upset with Jerusalem and Judah, it certainly appears he is upset with those that are upon the earth as well. He says to all of heaven and all of earth, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. God raised up Judah and Jerusalem, and they turned and rebelled on God. And if they are guilty, America is equally guilty, and if not even more so. God, in his kindness, granted to a people that desired a Christian nation, a land of freedom, to come to this land. And God showed our forefathers great kindness. He empowered them. He blessed them with great might. And as America thought she could stand up on her own two feet, she said to God Almighty, who raised her up, she appeared and said, God, we don't need you. She became an angry adolescent. She has rebelled against God. Hear me, as we are saying that, God, we no longer need you. God, we no longer want you to be part of who we are anymore. There was a young lady. She was getting ready to go out with her friends. And her mother knew her friends were dangerous and said, honey, I don't want you going with them. I'm afraid you're going to get hurt, or they're going to get you in some kind of trouble, be a bad influence to you. She begged the girl all the way to the car. She followed her. And she said, honey, she said, if you must go with them, let Jesus go with you. She said, mama, you put that Jesus in the trunk because it's all full in here. And that mother put her Bible down in the trunk of that car and they slammed it shut. They didn't get far on their way home that night before that car met a terrible accident. And all five passengers inside, including that young lady, were tragically killed. They tell me from the nose of that car all the way to the back seat, it was a wadded up, mangled mess, and you couldn't even tell it was a vehicle. But from the trunk on back, it was fully intact. Where the Word of God was, where there was a dozen eggs, not one of them was cracked. You may think, America, that you don't need God. Church, you may think that you don't need God. But we need Jesus more than we ever needed Jesus in our lives. What angers God is the kind of behavior that's going on, and he deems it as full-blown rebellion. Verse 3 says, the ox knoweth his owner. Now think about an ox. He's a brute beast. He has enough sense about him to realize who his owner is. He knows who feeds him. He knows who provides a place of rest for him, and a barn and a stall. He knows who protects him, and the beast bows his head before his owner in gratitude. Not only the ox, but the Bible says that the ass knows his master's crib. Even the brute beast shows respect to his master. God says, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Israel has forgotten about me. My people does not consider me anymore. Listen, they do no longer even take the time to acknowledge nor thank the God of heaven that created them and gave them breath. They do not think about God. The word consider makes me think of how we would analyze and include him in our lives, but they do not even include him. And you don't have to look far in America to see that this attitude, this behavior is completely, fully blown. And God has been trying to speak to our nation and get our attention. But no matter what God does, it doesn't make a difference because they explain away what's happening as if God is not a factor. I mean, listen to me. God forbid that a preacher would take the pulpit and say after a disease has come through that we cannot track and we cannot trace and that God has allowed it. How dare a preacher to say that we should consider God in the matter? But the truth of the matter is, God did allow it and is allowing it to get our attention to bring us to a place of repentance. They do not consider God, and God is angry about this. Verse 4, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Do you hear the voice of God with this indictment, this statement regarding the rebellion of mankind as he said, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity." You know what laden means? It means overloaded. A vehicle has a certain amount of axle weight that allows it to carry a certain amount of load. Some of you in the church, you drive dump trucks, and you know that you have a load capacity that you can carry. The axle load in America at one time was in place. We had a good moral axling in America. Oh yes, there were pockets of sin, but the truth is now America is laden. It is overloaded with iniquity, and the axle of morality are broken from under America's vehicle. The Bible says a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. I want to tell you something. When I was a little boy, my mama would say, "Son, don't you go to that house right there. Son, don't you ever let me catch you over at such and such, because you'll get hurt. It's a dangerous place to be." But my Bible here doesn't say that children are corrupted. It said the children are the corruptors. In other words, sin has piled up on top of sin so much that the children have become the ones that are wicked. They've been allowed so many opportunities with things that they are not mature enough to handle, and now the children are corrupting the children. The Bible says they have forsaken the Lord and they have provoked the Holy One of Israel. Hollywood, our media, those in the Congress and Supreme Courts of Washington, D.C. cannot bear the thought that there is a God that has an angry streak over sin. They cannot understand that God despises sin and that he would be provoked to action against it. He is angry with sin in this day, and he is provoked in the day and age in which we live. In verse 5, we come to point 2. There is a sentence for our revolt. Look with me and see if we can identify with the scriptures out of Isaiah chapter 1. God asks a question. "Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint." It is as if God is throwing up his hands saying, "Why should you be stricken anymore? The more I do to get your attention, the more you rebel. The more I try to help you and correct you, the more you revolt." Listen, the only way you can be stricken anymore is if you have been already stricken. God's chastisement and God's punishment is already falling on our land. You may not like it, nor do you want to hear it, but God's hand is upon us to bring correction. God is saying, "I've been striking you, I've been disciplining you, I've been chastening you, but my people doth not consider." They refuse to believe that God could be any part of the equation. They have no understanding that God could allow a terrible disease to which there are no antibodies for. Certainly God could never be part of that. We think with our great military might, with our powerful economy, our advanced technology, all of our scientists, that we are impervious and we are above having problems. But God has allowed us to be intruded upon by a disease that cannot be tracked, by weather that comes our way to get our attention. And we do not consider God, nor repenting and turning to God, and we are antagonizing God. I look down in Florida and in Georgia and in other states. I have hurricanes, and they board up their businesses, and they write words like "bring it on," right, as if they can handle it. Can I tell you something? You cannot antagonize and provoke Almighty God and make it very long. Hear me. God is striking us, and America is losing her standing in the world. There was a little boy. He was very rebellious to his father. His father took the belt to the little boy. He came into the room. "My daddy whipped me, and I am better for it. My daddy brought love and discipline. My daddy brought the hand of correction with love to make a difference in my life, and I thank God for it." And daddy came in to a mouthy boy, and he said, "Son, it's time to bring correction in your life." And the little boy said, "Oh man, you go on. You can't hurt me." Stuck his tongue out at him, yelled obscenities at him. The daddy grabbed him by the arm, and the boy tried to run and tried to fight and tried to kick back at his daddy. And his daddy, trying to bring loving correction into his life, he continued to yell, "You can't hurt me. Leave me alone. Get your hands off me. I'll have nothing to do with you." Though that daddy brought that boy into the world, though that daddy worked a 40-hour-a-week job to provide for that boy, to put clothes on him and food in his mouth, that boy thought, "I could do what I want to now." He began to rebel and reject his daddy. And his daddy got his hand on him, trying to get to him to bring correction. And the boy's kicking and fighting. And finally, the daddy stumbled and he fell. And he's in tears. And the boy's standing there saying, "I told you, old man, you'll never and you cannot hurt me." The daddy took that belt and threw it to the boy. And he said, "Son, any daddy that cannot correct his son ought to be whipped himself. You go ahead and whip me." You see, there was a time that God gave his back.
Amen. Yes, he did.
And we beat him. Amen. And we stripped him.
Yeah.
And we took him to a cross. But God will never allow his son and his back to be beaten and chastised as such again. God said, "Why should you be stricken anymore? The more I do, the more you revolt." That's exactly where America is right now today. Verse 6, "From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." The media says, "America, you're doing great. You're burning your cities, but it's your right to protest. You kill each other in the street, but that's okay. That's your right." I'm talking about leaders who march in the street with protesters and say it's our right to revolt and to express ourselves. And the media is standing up to promote it. And America's being told it's just, well, somewhat peaceful demonstrations. But God is looking. And God says, "You are wounded. You are bruised. You have putrefying sores. You are bloodied. You are naked. And you're in terrible shape."
Yeah.
The very fact, listen, this young man came to me today and he said, "Preacher, I got hurt this week. Hurt his leg. He's got all kinds of ointments on it, got bandages everywhere. But America, she doesn't want ointment. America doesn't want bandages." You know why? She thinks she's doing just fine. I'm telling you what. One who is wounded and bleeding and rejects and denies healing and ointment is one who is in denial about who and where they really are. Our nation is in bad shape. Verse 7, see if you can identify. "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it. in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. If you do not get your own way, then burn your own city till you do. And the media loves it. And leadership in the Capitol building and in Washington, they back up the thugs and tell them to continue. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. Nothing you can do about it. You just watch it helplessly happen. God said, I used to protect you.
Yeah.
I took care of you.
Yeah.
I had influence on you as a father. But you said, I got it now. I don't need you, God. Get out of our schools with your word. Get out of our schools with your prayers. Get out of our schools with your commandments. Slowly, they're going to come and say, that preacher in the pulpit offends me. Ban him from Facebook. Ban him from standing and declaring the truth. Don't give him the freedom to preach on the street. It's a hate crime to preach Jesus. And hey, I'm telling you, y'all, if it don't make them happy, they're going to do all they can to shut you down. Something must change. God Almighty is allowing this stuff to happen. You can say, well, Preacher Darren, we've got technology. We've got media. We've got science. We've got strong forces. God said, nothing will stop me from destroying you. I have taken my hands off of you. I will not strike you anymore. I'm going to let you be. We told God, just let us have it. And he is going to let us have it.
Yeah.
Amen. Now I love this country. Thank God they sang the national anthem. Man, I was standing to attention. I was weeping today as I heard them sing. I love our nation. Men and women fought for us to have freedoms and blessing after blessing. And I praise God for it. But it is not our military that's kept us safe. It is God that has shown us great grace, kindness, mercy, and favor. It is God that has been protecting us. Look at us now. Our military cannot stop what's happening at this point. This is in the hands of an almighty God. And God's just backing away. He raised us up when we didn't deserve it. And it's as if God's taking us to the next level of punishment as he withdraws himself from us. Now, lest ye think strangers or is someone of another skin, another ethnicity, someone who speaks a different language. The Bible is very clear. Don't you misquote me. The Bible is very clear about what a Bible stranger is. A stranger in the Word of God is one who brings in false gods and promotes sinful living. It has nothing to do with the color of skin. It has nothing to do with the dialect that you speak. They want to come to your universities and get in your think tanks and teach your children that Christianity is nothing, that Jesus Christ is nothing. And the media, they want to promote their own agenda rather than promoting the truth. God said in verse 8, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. God knows how to humble this nation. God does not care how many sit on the Supreme Court. God does not care how many are in Congress. God does not care who the governor is or is not. God Almighty cares not how many sit on the Federal Treasury Board. God said you're going to go to bed one night and your house is worth $250,000. And you're going to wake up and it's a cottage in a vineyard. Oh, I love cottages. Cottage in the Word of God means a lean-to. Just all you're going to have left is a lean-to. God's going to see to it that you'll have a lodge. Oh, a lodge. I love a lodge. A lodge is a shanty. It's a little place, a cardboard box to sleep in the garden of cucumbers that'll shortly rot. God said your 401ks that you've invested your whole lifetime in, looking forward to retiring one day. And you may sit here and say, I don't have one, but you lied. You've been living for it, longing for it. And God said, I'm going to take it every bit away. I'm going to sink and capsize the whole thing. I'm going to let you run it, and you will ruin it because you are a man, a sinful man with a heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I'll take away your Social Security. I'll capsize your jobs. You'll have nothing left. Look, y'all, just a few weeks with a virus and we were completely in chaos. And now we're getting worse and worse. God's going to cut the economic lights out and you'll become a besieged city. How depressing. Thank God for verse 9. I see in verse 3 the salvation of a remnant. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now I'll tell you something. They're not listening to God in Washington. They're not listening to God in your capital city of your state. It's amazing. Alexa's listening. Siri is listening. May I help you? For those that say they're not listening, they're listening to every word you say. How do you know they know to listen for Alexa or for Siri? They listen to me right now in Utah. I promise you, they are listening. But I'm going to tell you, honey, who you better listen to. You better listen to God Almighty. God is speaking to our nation. He's speaking to our churches. He's speaking to our families. He's speaking to us as individual persons. I want to say today, God has a secret in this land. Come here, I'll tell you. He has a very small remnant. We don't need to be part of a major movement. We don't need to be part of a mega church. Look around this morning. We're just a very small crowd. The best thing that America has going for it is sitting right here in these pews. The people of Almighty God, the remnant, those that look to Him and call upon Him. You are the salt of the earth. You're the whole thing that's keeping this thing from rotting. Amen. My grandma, she would go places and pick up little remnants. You know, a remnant is a piece of material or fabric that's a piece of scrap to everybody else. Cut weird, odd shape, weird colors, discarded, trashed, thrown away, not wanted or desired. I'll be honest with you. That's the reason our nation, she's discarded her churches. She don't care what they got to say anymore. She don't care about the God of the Bible. So all you are to them is a little remnant. You're a nobody. But thank God for a little church hidden away in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. If it weren't for y'all, our land would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah had such an immorality that God Almighty came down Himself to investigate, and He went to Abraham and told him what He's going to do, and Abraham began to pray and seek the face of God, and yet God still burnt that thing down. God said, had there not been a very small remnant, I would have destroyed this place. One day God came looking. July 13, 1978, Balfour Baptist Church, and He said, that boy right there has been discarded by the devil. He's not wanted, but he's just what I'm looking for. I'm going to trim him up. I'm going to wash him out. I'm going to press him, and I'm going to use him for my glory. Hey, look at this. There's a precious girl. I'm going to save her and use her for my glory. Hey, there's a precious young lady there. There's a precious young man. Hey, and God, one by one, has been picking up the remnant to spare our nation. I say hallelujah to God. Brother Remington, come to me, son. just like this. Get that corner. My grandma took a bunch of old fabric that was discarded, unwanted. She took little shards and little pieces. She began to cut and trim. And she said, you know what? This may not look like much. This may not look like much. But I've got a vision for it. I've got something I'm wanting to do. And she took it and she began to sew it and to seam it all together. And now that's become a remnant quilt. And when I get cold at night, thank God, remnants stay there. When I get cold at night, I don't just have one little old square here. Put that on, stay warm. That ain't a good bib for him. He ain't going to stay warm.
That's right.
Amen, ain't going to work. But let God get in it. Get a hold of it. Sew him in. Amen. Stay right there, son. Hey, it'll sure keep a cold boy warm. It'll sure help you in the nighttime. Amen. Woo! Hey, my grandma down here at the bottom, it says, made with tender love and care by Edna Waldrop. God has put his name on this church and said, made with tender love and care by Jesus Christ through his shed blood. I say thank God for the remnant. Thank you, preacher. Amen. I want to say this. I think that leadership ought to convene in North Carolina and in the United States of America and call an emergency session and draft an executive order and say to Bethel Baptist Church and all the churches of America that are God-fearing and God-serving and say, thank you for serving God. Thank you for praying for our nation. Thank you for keeping this whole thing from burning down and being destroyed. It's a remnant that God has used. It's the best thing America has going for it. Here's our churches. No wonder they want to shut us down. Verse 18, I'm trying to quit. Verse 18, there's a summons for repentance. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. One day, y'all looking at me? One day, the remnant is going to be taken home. God's going to box her up and take her from the mire and put her in the choir. And we're going to be in heaven forever. And on earth, boy, I sure wouldn't want to be a lost man when the remnant is taken away, when the Holy Spirit is drawn away. I wouldn't want to be left here a lost man. Y'all, I got family that's lost. I got friends that's lost. I've got enemies that's lost. They need to be saved. I don't want them to go to hell and burn forever and ever. I don't want them to be left on earth with what's going to happen. I want them to be saved. I'm going to tell you something. It's time that we as a church said, Lord, I've not been as thankful and as appreciative. I've not been as prayerful as I ought to have been. And God, you put me here as a remnant to make the difference. And I've not been doing my job. And Lord, you said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And if we'd pray, God would start convicting and working in the lives of our loved one. And God save them too. Wouldn't that just be wonderful? Will you stand to your feet? I've got another illustration, but I'm just out of time. There may be somebody here. Oh, sinful nation. There may be somebody here. You need to come to the altar. You need to get on your face. You need to get on your knees. You need to say, oh God, I didn't realize the importance of the job you gave me. I didn't understand about the salvation you've imparted to me. I can make a difference. I am making a difference. Oh God, would you forgive me? Oh God, would you strengthen me? Oh God, would you bless me? God, would you touch America? God, would you touch North Carolina? God, would you touch Western North Carolina? God, would you touch our counties? God, would you touch our homes? God, would you touch our daddies? God, would you touch our mamas? God, would you touch our children? God, would you help us, Lord,
touch our pastors and help us to preach uncompromised. Old folks are coming. If you're on Facebook, you're streaming live, you ought to find a place by the sofa. Find a place at the table. You're sitting there on the edge of the bed. Won't you just drop, right now, drop your head and pray. If you're not saved, he'll save you right now. If you think it's bad now, this is nothing compared to what it's going to be. I'm inviting you to be part of the saved, part of the redeemed, part of the remnant called the church. Ask Jesus to save you. You know he loves you. He died for you. Gave his back, his body, and his blood that you might be saved. He was buried, but on the first day of the week, he didn't stay dead. They couldn't keep him there. Up from the grave, he arose. And today, friend, he wants to save you and bless you. Would you ask him, Lord, this morning, I thank you for someone today who'll bow their head. God, I pray they'll say, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Wash me in your blood. Save my soul. Let me go to heaven. Father, I pray for our churches, Lord. We've took you for granted way too long. Touch us, Lord. Help us, Father. Empower us, equip us, anoint us. God, I pray you'd forgive us, Lord, of our failure, of our laziness, of our slackness, and help us, God, to realize that we're not outranked by the president or the governor. We are called by Most High God, and we're ambassadors for Christ. And Lord, I ask your blessing now to be upon your church. Help her to be the remnant you caused her to be. Help her, Lord, to make a difference in our nation. To wrap her up in love and care and prayers. God, I pray you'd bathe us in them, Lord. Touch us, God, I pray. Lord, we ask your blessing and we seek your face, Father. Touch our nation. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for America. Thank you for her president. Thank you for her governor. Thank you for her leadership. Bless them, God, to hear. Bless them, God, to obey. Strengthen them, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Yes.